The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we worship you and praise you and bless you. Lord, our hearts are set on you. Let your Holy Spirit hover in this place. Let your presence be so overwhelming. It'll be like you were when you went into the temple. Lord, folks couldn't even stand up. Father, let your power reside here. Yes. This day. And Father, for those who watch it on Facebook and on our webpage, let them experience you as if they were in this building with us today. We love you, Lord. Thank you for bringing Becky and Roe back home safe and sound. Let the worship be a sweet-smelling savor in the very throne room of God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the kids said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Things to be this way.
Across the plains of Texas. close to your side. So heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing this one.
Great I am, great I am, great I am. Worship you. You never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, till it's out your way. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Now we're just gonna play a little bit here.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. don't know it. God is still at work. He never diminishes. He never quits.
He never changes.
He keeps loving us. Even when we don't feel love, He loves us. And probably one of the biggest disappointments in people's lives is when they feel like God doesn't love them anymore. You know, they don't feel loved by anyone. That's why we have the assurance that God continues to love us. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah.
I just felt led of the Lord to just declare something this morning. And I ask you to just come and agree with me in this. First of all, the Lord says, fear not.
Amen.
Yes. For all that can be shaken will be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken will remain.
That's right.
And the only thing that cannot be shaken are the things of God. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. God honors His name and His word. And we have come together this morning in agreement that God is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Do not let your faith be shaken. Take hold. Take hold. Renew your mind. God says He will keep every promise. Every promise. His word goes forth. His word is forever. And did we not say that the promises of God are yea and amen.
Yes.
Let your faith arise. Don't give up. Don't be weary. Don't be weary. Be strengthened in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
That's right.
And one of the greatest, most encouraging scriptures that I've read just in the last week, I'm sorry, I can't remember where it is. It's a psalm. But it says, God has sharpened His sword. He has bent and strung His bow. He has prepared His deadly weapon. His deadly weapon against spiritual principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world cannot, will not stand against the word of God, the people of God, the kingdom of God, and the King. The King of glory. The King of glory is with us.
Yes.
Oh, people of God, strengthen. If you can't do it yourself, in fact, you can't do it yourself. In Psalms, it says, Psalms 27, read the whole thing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom should I fear? Though my enemies and my foes come against me to eat up my flesh. You know what that means? Total destruction. They come in to consume. They stumble and fall. Though a host shall rise against us, our hearts will not fear. The war shall rise against us, and this will we be confident, that the Lord Himself is our light and our salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Psalms ends with, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus and let Him strengthen your heart. Let faith arise. This world belongs to the living and true God. He's got the plan. Let's just cooperate with Him. Agree and declare the glorious wonders of God, and that He will deliver, establish, make strong, and make us firm. in the Holy Ghost, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's thank you, Miss Pat. That's good work.
That's the Lord.
I have the word.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hear this and hear it well. This is the day of the Lord.
Amen.
He is Almighty God, El Shaddai. There is no other God but Him. He is Elohim, your creator. He made you the way you are. He is Adonai, the sovereign Lord. There is no other God but Him. Remember that. Honor that. And worship Him for that. He has granted me a full life. Today, I'm 84 years old. And I worship Him and praise Him for every minute. I want to thank Him for making a way, since He is the way maker. He made a way for me to come to this house to worship Him. And I am grateful for every minute. But as the song said, He's the way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's the promise keeper.
Yes.
He's the light in the darkness. Yes. Well, let me tell you what He does as a miracle worker. Let me show you what He does as the way maker. Eight, 9 weeks ago, I fell and almost broke my shoulder. But thank God, no broken bones.
Amen.
When they took the x-rays in the hospital, they said the bursa wasn't broken. The rotator cuff wasn't broken.
Yeah.
The joint wasn't broken.
Yeah.
It was all intact.
Hallelujah.
I suffered great pain for quite a while. Yes, I did. But I rejoice in the fact that I suffered the pain to know He is the miracle worker. He is the healer. Look at what I can do. I could not do this 8 weeks ago. All I could and barely move my fingers. But now today, I can praise the Lord with the fullness of my strength. And this morning when I woke up, I said, the joy of the Lord is my strength today and every day of my life. So I'm glad to say, He is the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. He is the way maker. He is the healer and the deliverer. And let us never forget it. For He is the only one true God. There is no other God but Him.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Miss Rose. Be careful.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll just dismiss. I think you had enough preaching for one day. Woo! Amen. You know, every time the Dietrich family comes back and leads us in worship, I remind myself of how amazing it is to have such wonderful people in our church that can lead us in worship. And we miss them when they're not here. But that's not to diminish Jim Corbin. He always does a good job for us, all right? But he's not live. He's sort of live, but not quite live. You know, I'm going to quit while I'm still in. All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, Pat and I will be leaving tomorrow, and we'll be going to Florida for Thanksgiving. You know, we're not shut down. You know, I don't know who else is shut down, but we're going to Florida, and we'll visit with our daughter and leave there'll be no sicknesses and no diseases. We'll come where we go. Amen?
Amen.
So in my place next week, Bruce Olivier is going to come and speak. And Bruce always does a good job. So I'm glad that he agreed to come. And Nick, while I'm out, you'll be the master of ceremonies. So you lead us in prayer and do whatever you want to do. You'll be in control. It's an awesome feeling to be in control. So I'm turning over the reins of authority to Nick while I'm out of town, and he always does a good job. So, but that, you know, just because I'm not here, that doesn't mean you can tune me out on Facebook or tune me out on the webpage or not show up in church, all right? So I want everybody to be here, to be supportive, Because if I tune in, which I will, if you're not here, I'll know it. And then I'll probably take you off my Christmas list. You don't want that to happen. Okay. We have a video for you. I don't have a Thanksgiving Day message because I wanted to finish up what we were talking about in the book of Revelation. But we do have a Thanksgiving video for you that you're going to enjoy. So, Jim, if you're ready to start that up, we're ready to listen.
Today I lift my eyes to the heavens and count my blessings.
You call me blessing.
Clothes on my back.
A place to lie down tonight. Nothing miraculous or earth-shattering.
Just the small things that help keep me going today.
Thank you, God. I have a food on my table. Health to get me through the day.
Good memories I've shared.
All the beauty that makes life special.
Thank you, God. I'm blessed by what I can see and touch.
What I can feel in the moment. But Lord, you transcend feelings and moments.
You sacrificed your life so I could see beyond what's under my feet and over my head.
Thank you, God.
That kind of love keeps my heart free.
During seasons where peace is hard to come by, even when I can't see or touch a blessing,
I know I can close my eyes and say, thank you, God.
I've lost a lot this year. Things I worked hard for.
Dreams I was sure were going to come true. People I never wanted to say goodbye to. I walked a hard path, trial.
And pain and despair.
But I never walked it alone.
Even now, I can say thank you. Because no matter what is set before me,
dark valleys or green pastures,
goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And when this life is over, I'll dwell with you in your house forever.
So I just want to stop and tell you, thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Love being thankful. I have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes.
Every time I see an emergency vehicle with its lights flashing, I always pray for them and also thankful that they're not coming for me. You know, that's just good. If you can get up and walk and move and have your being, still know your name. You know, be thankful. You may not have everything you ever had, but you're closer now to everything that God has prepared for you than you were yesterday. And what He has prepared for us is amazing. And we've been talking about that for the last, 7, 8, 9 weeks, about the final acts of God. And we talked about the judgment of God and the love and marriage. Remember that sermon about what the God's relationship with us. We talked about Jesus being Lord, and we talked about Him being King, and that's two different functions of Jesus. We talked about the rescue of believers. I really enjoyed that. That was a good one. And for the last 2 weeks, and today will be the third week, we've been talking about the home prepared for the Bride of Christ. So this is going to be part three of this. We've been using this as a sermon from the book of Revelation. I know many of you got the book of Revelation. I hope you go through it. You can get a seminary degree if you can read that book and understand everything that's in it. But it's got a lot of good thoughts. I mean, just kind of where it gets into the language and that, just kind of bypass that a little bit and just stick with the text. It'll help you to see the greatness of God that's inscribed in the book of Revelation. It is the book that'll encourage you more than any other book in the Bible. It's the only book in the Bible that says you'll be blessed from hearing it, from reading it, and from heeding it. It's the only one that does that. So when you're reading Dr. Robinson's book, I know that'll encourage you. So this, it's a timeless book, right? Therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. So it's past, present, and future that is described. And this is the final acts, Act 5, The Future Home of the Bride, Part 3. I'm going to catch back a little bit on what I said to bring you up today. Revelation 21, 1 and 2, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I know the scientists have told me, and you got to follow the science, that's what they're talking about today, that the sun is going to burn out in 50 billion years. Don't believe it. It's going to take a lot less time than that for God to extinguish that big burning globe. So, the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. All right, we spoke about the bride's future home is the eternal reality. It's a reality. It's more real than what you think is real today. And we talked about that. You have to go get Sermon 1 to figure that out. Part 1, I should say. We talked about the future home is a new relationship. We have a relationship with God today, and it's an eternal relationship, but the whole has not been said. You know, when you enter into a marriage relationship, you love someone, but 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later or more, you love that person in a richer and a deeper way because you've experienced a lot of life together and you appreciate each other. As I used to tell folks, you learn to love people warts and all. You know, you stay married long enough, you're gonna see some warts. In me, of course. All right, the bride's future home is beyond magnificent. Remember we described as best we could what it's like, what that future home prepared for the bride is like. And it uses stones and foundation stones, and we talked a lot about the diamond and how it's the city that reflects light like a diamond does, all right? And today we're going to pick up with the bride's future home is totally secure. No, actually we did that last time about being secure. Today we're going to pick up where the bride's future home is still available. Revelation 21, 25 through 27. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written, where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Yes.
If not, you better get it in there, because if the final act ends today, you're going to need that in order to survive eternity. And survive in eternity. So, we sometimes get myopic vision where we just look at one place and we think that's everything. Sometimes movie producers do this. They'll show you something very small, and then they'll take the cameras and back up and open up, and you'll see a beautiful vista of whatever it is they want you to see. God is interested in us as individuals. He cares about you. He knows your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But God cares about the world. He cares about the people that you don't even think about. He cares about nations. He cares about people on the other side of the world. The people that you don't even enter your conscious being, God cares about those people. He cares about the world, for God so loved the world. Not God so loved Slidell, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now this invitation is for the whole world to come. God's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone in the world to perish. And I know sometimes we get and rightly so, antagonistic about people in the world. Actually, we're more antagonistic about governments in the world than we are about the people in the world. People in the world, the ordinary folks, get brainwashed and trained and forced to do things that they may not want to do. You know, during World War II, we had a draft for young men. This is before we lost our mind and thought it was great to draft women into the service. We had women working in factories and doing a lot of stuff. But I know I'm an old dog and I can't be taught some new tricks, but I don't believe women ought to be on the battlefield. That's just my opinion. That's just the way I feel about it. Not that women are incapable of doing things, but I just don't think they ought to be there. Anyway, I don't know why I'm going off on that tangent, but in World War II, when men were drafted, they were you had to go. Did you know that in Germany they had a draft too? That the German army was not a volunteer army? Do you know what happened to people who didn't join the German army? They killed them, exactly. They murdered them. So, you might have got put in jail here in America, but you never weren't killing anybody for not going to the service. But there, they were forced to it. And that same thing is happening today around the world. People are forced to do things. But God cares about people, and he sees them, and he sees their situation. And the call to them is the same call that you receive. God wants all men, all women, all boys, all girls to come to him. These gates are designed to allow an orderly entrance into the kingdom. It says that its gates, on no day will its gates ever be shut. So the gates to heaven are open today for us. There'll come a time when the gates won't be open any longer. But today, those gates are open for all who want to come. Walls protect those on the inside, but they also hinder unlawful entrance. As you know, we've built this magnificent wall down at the Mexican border to hinder people from coming in. Those walls are not made to keep people from getting out. They're made for people who want to come in unlawfully. There is a way into America, but you have to go through the process. So a lot of people want to get in, and they have to go through the process. These walls we're talking about will hinder unlawful entrance. It's daylight, so the entrance can be easily found. You don't have to stumble around in the dark. Pat and I were driving around the other night on a project, and we went a couple of places in the dark. And when you don't know where you're going in the dark, even with headlights and GPS systems, it gets confusing when you're trying to get to your destination. Gates are closed at night, but in the heavenly realm, in this home prepared for the bride, there is no night. You know, everything, pretty much everything, goes to sleep at night. It goes into a state of suspended animation, if you will. I don't like to sleep. I enjoy sleep, but I don't like to sleep. I've always been this way, because when I'm sleeping, I don't know what's going on. And I like to be in control of everything. And I don't know what's going to happen. And when I wake up in the morning, I think, if I sleep 7 or 8 hours, I am disappointed in myself. Because I've wasted time. You know, I'm much more comfortable with 5.5, 6 hours of sleep. And I feel, well, okay, I got enough to get the body rested, but now I'm ready to go and get going again. You probably noticed this about our President Donald Trump. He's worse than I am. He never sleeps. The guy is up late up and gets up early. And I don't know how he does it. Every once in a while, my body will give out on me, and I have to sleep a little longer. When I was younger, that wasn't true. But I could work. On one occasion, when I was working for NASA, and we had a computer problem that was causing, it was a really big deal. and I was the head of the project involved with it, and I got called out about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I think it was a Friday, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't go home until the following Tuesday.
Wow.
I worked that whole time. I never slept.
Oh.
I mean, I just had to get it done. I had to bring a team of people in, and when we get tired, we drank so much coffee, we could have floated a ship in all the coffee we drank, just to keep ourselves away. But I was able to do that, and I enjoyed the process. I was tired when I got finished, and you know when they say when the runners, long-distance runners, will hit the wall, and if they get past the wall, they can go further? You can do that with sleep. You'll be tired, you'll feel your body giving out, but there's a wall, and when you get past it, sleep, you don't need to sleep, because you're running on sheer adrenaline and energy, and you can do that. And but at night, everything settles down. In heaven, I won't have to go to sleep. I can be wide awake, I won't miss anything, and neither will you. We'll all be... There won't be any such thing as, it's nighttime and I have to go to sleep. There is no time, nighttime. It is day, every day. There's a passage in the scriptures that we all know, but I don't think we ponder it enough. It talks about, in John, the first chapter, that the Word, you know, came. And the Word we know is Jesus. And it says a phrase about him. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of the world. You see, when eternal life is present, there's eternal light also. That's why the darkness cannot overpower us, because we are eternal light, which drives it away. It says, when it talked about Jesus, it said that darkness could not overpower him. And we see a picture of it here in the New Jerusalem, the bride of the home of the bride, is that there'll be no more darkness and no more absence of light. Because we do have absence of light here today. Many of you have been to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and you probably went to Ruby Falls. How many of you have been to Ruby Falls? Some of you haven't been to Ruby Falls? My goodness, that's a passage of life. You gotta go to Tennessee and go to Ruby Falls. It's a little scary. They put you in an elevator and they drop you down in the ground several hundred feet. It's pretty dark and dank. And you get down there and it is dark. Well, it's not dark at first because they have artificial lighting, but part of one of the things they do to people at Ruby Falls is they turn out the lights. You have never been in total darkness before until you go to Ruby Falls. Y'all remember that? Those of you who've been there?
Yes.
I remember the guy when I was there, he said, if you see a hand in front of your face, it's not yours. And I was thinking, turn that light on, turn that light on, turn that light on. So there is total darkness, but God is the light that dispels all darkness. I love it in Genesis when he says, let there be light, and there was light. And that light is Jesus himself. He is the light of the world. And he is the light that exists in the New Jerusalem. He is the bridegroom who lights up all eternity for us. So it's going to be special. It'll be different than that. For people who like to be up and doing, it'll be great. If you like to sleep, get over it, because you're going to be awake. There won't be any sleep, all right? The gates give you easy access in the light. Because the gates are illuminated, you'll be able to find them. If you were walking along the wall in the dark trying to find the gates, you'd be stumbling along like a blind man. But if everything's illuminated, you can see very easily where you're going. So it's a place of revelation. Nothing will be hidden. We will know then, the scriptures say, even as we're known, now we know in part, we see in part, we understand in part, then we shall know even as we're known. That's what's waiting for us, the bride of Christ, in this home that God has prepared for us. Now, it says that the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. We think individually. God thinks individually and nationally. He thinks about nations. And the glory of some of the nations will be there. Some of the nations won't be recognized there. You know, this, I'm going to speculate. This is my opinion. Okay. You know, the military, and all you military buffs know this to be true. When an army has a flag, and on that flag there are ribbons. And those ribbons were won. It's if they did something outstanding in battle. Marine Corps has ribbons on that flag. The Army has ribbons. All of them have ribbons. I think in a way, there'll be ribbons for the nations of the good things that they did. I think America's got a lot of ribbons because this nation honors God. As a nation, we do. There are individual pockets that don't. But no matter what our former President Barack Obama said, he said, we are not a Christian nation. That's just another thing he was wrong about. We are a Christian nation. We still, are we losing ground? Yes. But we haven't lost all the ground. Have we lost some battles? Yes. But we haven't lost the war. You know? So the war rages, but we're still winning. All wars have battles, and not all the battles are won, but the war is ultimately won. And I think because I'm interested in the colonial times, and I'm interested in World War II, those are two areas that I'm always interested in. The Americans lost battles, but they didn't lose the war. All right? And so these nations will be there and will be honored. And we'll see what nations were honored and which ones weren't, okay? So nothing impure will ever enter it. You know, in today's world, we see a lot of things we don't like. We hear a lot of things we don't like. I just read where... I can't tell you, I'm not going to say which state it is because I can't remember now which one it was. But there's a state that just changed their laws in their legislature so that abortions could occur, could be had for not only deformities, which they can figure, or there's something, there's a bad DNA, they can do that now. But now in that state, they can have an abortion based on sex. So if a woman is pregnant and she wanted a boy and she's pregnant with a girl, they can have an abortion because of that now. So, it's just unbelievable. That is a shame that will never get into the heavenly realms. All right? So evil behavior stems from something very sinister. That is unbelief. That's where it comes from. We tend to think of, we look at the symptoms and not the cure. We see someone as a murderer or an adulterer or, you know, any of the things that people do, liars. But the source of that is they are unbelievers. Because when you're an unbeliever, things change. You may occasionally do something, but it's all under the blood and you're being changed day by day into what God wants you to be. Shame and deceit are the clothes of unbelievers. There is no shame in you. There is no condemnation in you. That's why I love Romans chapter 8. It says, there is now no condemnation. And it doesn't say this, but it implies it, nor will there ever be any condemnation to those who are in Christ. So, once again, as I said a little earlier, records are kept for believers, not of the things you've done, but as your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so that book, the Lamb's Book of Life, still has some empty pages. So that the kingdom is available for all who want to come in. There's no one so sinister that they can't get in. There's no one who's done such diabolical deeds that they can't get in. God redeems the vilest of sinners. So there are people that, if I was God, would never get in. That's true. I mean, there's some people, forever and ever, you're going to hell, you're going to burn forever. That's the way I'd look at it. But I'm not God. But God sees with eyes of love that I don't see. Now, I have done this. I've led some people to the Lord that I wasn't real happy with. But God was happy with them. God cared about them. I ran into a demon-possessed man one day, and I didn't care much for him. He was a very vile individual. But he had an encounter with God, and God changed him and brought him into the kingdom.
Wow.
So God can do things that, and will do things that I wouldn't do. That's why the kingdom is always open. You've got people in your family and people in your neighborhood, people you think, they'll never come to the kingdom of God. Don't be so sure about that, never.
That's right.
You know, Pat and I were talking about this the other day. I said, I think we're going to be surprised that some people make it into heaven. We didn't think we're ever going to get in. You know, people can be on their deathbed. I've told this story before, but I'm not going to tell you the whole story. I'm just going to give you the capsule of it. There was a lady that I was called to go see. She was elderly. She was dying of cancer. And when I began to speak to her about God, I was asked to go pray for her. She told me she didn't believe in God, and she didn't believe in Jesus. She didn't believe in the Bible. She didn't believe in none of that stuff. And she wasn't ugly. She was very, you know, very open with me. And I made the statement to her. I said, well, you know, that puts me in a predicament because I came here to pray for you and you wanted me to come. I said, didn't you want me to come? And she said, yes. I said, but I pray in the name of Jesus and you don't believe in his name. I don't want to offend you, but if I can't pray in Jesus' name, I don't think I ought to pray for you. And she says, oh, no, 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 please pray for me. You can use Jesus' name. That would be okay. So I did. I prayed for her, and I also shared some scriptures with her. And right before she died, she had her daughter-in-law take a letter that she dictated, the lady dictated to her, and she said this. She said, when you were reading, she said, Pastor, when you were reading the scriptures to me, it felt like an infusion of medicine going into me.
Wow.
So I believe that lady's in heaven. She died just minutes after she dictated that letter to me. So don't think that people are beyond being saved. They can be on a deathbed. They can be as young as 6, 7, 8 year olds. People ask me all the time, is my son or daughter old enough to believe and receive Christ into their life? I said, absolutely. If they want to do it, lead them. You know, get them baptized if they want to. I said, well, what if they don't understand? Well, you don't understand anything anyway. I mean, our children, Jesus said, unless you get to be like one of these kids, you can't even get in. So they had that childlike faith. My daughter got saved when she was, I believe, 8, and she still remembers it. And she remembered, she asked to be saved. You know? So the door's open to any who want to come in. Our duty, our responsibility is to invite everyone while there's still time for them to get in. Don't wait until it's too late. There are people that you love that you haven't spoken to about the Lord because you're afraid that they're going to reject you. You're afraid they're not going to receive it. Maybe you tried to talk to them before and they weren't interested. People talk to me about God my whole life. Never meant anything to me. Until one time. I asked at the right moment and I got saved. I had to write letters and apologize to people for all the terrible things I did to them when they tried to tell me about God. And I just wasn't interested. So God cares. We have a duty to tell them. Bob Lambert, who's not here this morning, he's kind of COVID captured right now. He doesn't have COVID, but he's kind of not able to come because he's got some
pre-existing conditions, and he shouldn't be here. And I appreciate that. But he talked to his son. Bob told me he told his son, who wasn't very interested in godly things, and Bob said, look, I brought you into this world. I have a responsibility to tell you about God. And he said, you're going to listen to me. I'm your father. And he told, and he led him to the Lord. He did it. So, you know what? I forgot to turn this thing on. Jim, you're not going to get a recording. I'm sorry. I was trying to make Jim a tape recording, but I forgot to turn it on. So, don't quit. Extend the invitation. You are not responsible for the way people act. You're only responsible to tell them. The first sermon I ever preached was in Bogalusa, Louisiana, and it was a sermon from Ezekiel about the watchman on the wall. And that scripture says that if you sound the alarm, in other words, if you tell someone about Christ, if you sound the alarm and they heed it, you've saved them. If they don't heed it, it's their fault. Their blood is on themselves. But if you don't sound the alarm when the enemy comes and they perish, it's your fault. So you don't ever want somebody to think that you failed because you didn't tell them. If a person rejects Christ and they end up in the fiery lake of fire, they'll know that you gave them the opportunity. Say, well, people may not like me. They may be get mad at me. I'd rather have them be mad at me here than go into eternity and I didn't tell them what they needed to know. So be bold. Yeah, grandkids, talk to your grandkids. Grandkids are easy. If you're a grandparent, your grandkids are like taking candy from a baby. They will trust you and they will believe you if you'll tell them about Jesus Christ. So the younger the better. Extend the invitation. Unbelievers can accept the invitation today. There'll come a day when it'll be too late, but it's available today. Okay? Now, the bride's future home is urgently imminent. I don't know if those two words go together, but they did in my mind. Urgently imminent. You could say one, you know, cancels out the other because they both mean the same thing. They do. I've got these are three passages for you. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecies written in this scroll. That's 22:7. 22:10 says, then he told me, do not seal up the words of this prophecy, the prophecy of this scroll. And then verse 17 says, the spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. The writers of the New Testament believe that the Lord's return was imminent. They believed it would happen at any moment. They lived that way. They preached that way. And that has been true from those days on the shores of the Jordan River, all through the places where Paul went, the places where the early church went, all the way through this day. Every minister that I know who's worth his salt will tell you that the Lord's coming is imminent. There's nothing to hinder him coming today. The groaning of creation is announced, like the angels who announced Christmas and the birth of Jesus. The end is near. It's nearer today than it was yesterday. And when I look around and I hear what's going on in our world, it seems to me that the signs that I see indicate that the end is near. I just got a gut feeling about it. And I've been preaching for a lot of years, and I've never preached that before. I always said it could come, but I never said that I felt that it was coming. Today, I feel that it's coming. Take that for what it's worth. That's under my opinion. But you know what? Sometimes when I say things in my opinion, I say that to disarm us, to disarm you. But that doesn't mean I don't have good reasons for my opinions. You know, I don't say things frivolously or just because I think it's a fun thing to say. The key word for today is urgency. The final harvest and the bridegroom are ready. Jesus said, look out among you, the fields are white unto harvest. That means it's ready. And he said, the problem is there are not enough laborers going into the field. Aren't you glad that somebody told you about Christ? Aren't you glad that you found out, however you found out? If you read it in the Bible, if you saw it on TV, however you got the information, aren't you glad? I mean, where would you be if that hadn't happened to you? I don't know what happened to me. At the speed I was headed towards eternity, in the way that I believed, I don't think I'd be here alive on the planet. I think God would have just killed me for some of the things I was doing. The things that I was doing were not immoral things. The things I was doing were anti-God things. That's worse. I was telling people that the Bible was a fictitious book and that Jesus Christ was a guy trying to get power. I did that. Scared Pat half to death the first time I told her that. I mean, we weren't believers, but we weren't anti-God. You know, we went to church occasionally. So anybody can come into the kingdom, and the urgency is to do it now. The New Testament promises are being fulfilled moment by moment. Let me give you one that gives me pause. You saw it. People are applauding it. And that's the peace treaties that are being made with Israel today. The scriptures say that that will happen. And they said everyone will be saying, rejoicing, peace, peace. It says, then comes sudden destruction. So when I saw these peace treaties being made, and there'll be more, you know, I was really happy. Boy, there'd be peace in Israel. And then I stopped and thought, I told Pat, I said, maybe I shouldn't be so happy about this. It may not be as good a news as we think it is. Although I got to tell you, as a fellow human being, I'm happy about it. You know, I'd like to see a peace in Israel. I'd like to see peace throughout the world. But those promises are being fulfilled. Truth is breaking out like the morning sun. One of the things Donald Trump has done is brought light into dark places.
Yeah.
You know, when people used to tell me stuff that just sounded so crazy, you know, I just put it in the category of conspiracy theorists. You know, and I just wasn't buying it. But the light that was cast into dark places in America by Donald J. Trump has revealed things. Why do you think the fight is so fierce against him? Because the darkness hates him.
That's right.
When we find out the head of the CIA, the FBI, testified before Congress under oath and admitted that he leaked classified information to the newspapers. He did it. He admitted it. Why he's out in jail is beyond me. But that's darkness in high places. Things that were done are just incredible against Donald Trump. And this is not a political statement. This is a revelation of truth. So that's what I'm trying to teach you, is that light has been shining into darkness and we're seeing it. That gives me pause to believe that the end is nearer than we think it is. 10 years ago, I would have never believed that anyone in the FBI, the CIA, or in the federal government would actually do some of the things that they've done. I just wouldn't believe people would have lied the way they did. I wouldn't have believed that when a man of the caliber of Kavanaugh, our justice on the Supreme Court, was accosted by lies of such viciousness, I couldn't believe it. I was hearing it and seeing it, but the record, they picked on the wrong guy because he had records. He's kind of nerdy. He had records of every place he ever went through high school and in college. And he had a calendar. I was with these people on this date. And the things he was accused of, he had evidence that he wasn't there. He had names of people who testified that where he was. Thank goodness he kept those records. But those were lies that were being spewed out against him. And I've got to tell you, and people said this, that the woman who accused him sounded credible until the light was shined in the darkness and we saw what was really going on. Again, I'm telling you these things to remind you that the end is nearer than you think it is. If you got something you want to do, you better do it now, because you might not get the chance to do it later. The call is come, the light is shining in the darkness and leading everyone who wants to safety. There is safety, there is peace, there is a sense of well-being because of what God does for you. I wrote an article for the newspaper a couple of weeks ago talking about the darkness. Some of you might have read it. I think I put it out in a grace note in an email about being afraid of the dark. And the number of people who are afraid of the dark, something like 70% of the people are afraid of the dark. And yet, when you become a believer, you're not afraid of the dark anymore because darkness has no power over you.
Right.
If you are afraid of the dark when you're a believer, you need to rethink some things. When you go to bed at night, and I put this in the article, quote the scripture to you. It's easy. It's in the book. It's Psalms for 8 hours of sleep. It's Psalms 4:8. 4:8. So if you want to get 4:8 hours of sleep, Psalms 4:8. It says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you watch over me during the night hours. And in the next psalm, and I can't tell you the verse on it, it says, and when I awake, you're still with me. You know? So to be encouraged. So darkness has no power over us in Christ Jesus. The whole world is thirsty and doesn't know it. Why do you think people are going after sex like craziness, going after alcohol and drugs like craziness, going after power like crazy? Because they are thirsty for something and they don't know what it is. And nothing quenches their thirst until they reach the point of receiving Christ into their life. The living water quenches all thirst. It says that at the end, verse 17, chapter 22, come, let the one who is thirsty come. People are thirsty for something and they're trying to quench it. Remember that song, that country and western song, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. People are looking for water in all the wrong places. Jesus met the woman at the well. She was living a life looking to quench a thirst. And he said, Jesus said to her, if you would have asked of me, I would have given you living waters and you would never thirst again. Once you drink of the living water, you won't thirst of the things of this world any longer. The things of this world, you become, one of my words about this world is ambivalent. I'm ambivalent about most things. Now, I like a lot of stuff, but I'm ambivalent, you know. So whatever, you know, I'm serving the Lord and it's going to happen or not happen, and don't get upset with me. I believe Donald Trump should be the president of the United States. I believe it was taken away from him, and some credible people have said some things to make me believe that. But you know, there's one thing in knowing something, it's another thing in proving it. They may not be able to prove it, and Joe Biden may end up being the next president of the United States. And I know they'll be weeping and wailing about all that. Beloved, as far as you're concerned, it won't make any difference in eternity. So don't let it get you down. Just praise the Lord no matter what's going on. We do our best. We speak the truth. But if that happens, unless the Lord comes, we as the believers in Jesus Christ will survive. Will we see things we don't like? Yes. Will laws be made that we don't like? Yes. But will we survive? Yes. The Psalms say, though 10,000 fall at the right on your right hand and 1,000 on your left hand or whatever it is, it said none of these things will come upon you. We will survive. If you want to get encouraged, pick up the book by Corey Ten Boom, The Hiding Place. It's been around forever. If you haven't read it, read it. And see how God can take a believer through hell on earth and bring them out the other side a different person. Encouraged in the Word. She lost her sister in a concentration camp. She went through untold abuse and hardship, but her faith in Christ lasted. And in that place, she led I don't know how many people to Christ. She brought light into the darkness. There's a funny story in that, and I've said this before, but it shows you how God works. It's bad enough to be in a concentration camp, and they were stacked in like cordwood. There wasn't enough room. People were sleeping together in bunk beds. You know, just horrible. And they got an infestation of lice. So it wasn't bad enough, and we were all scratching ourselves. But what happened, the guards wouldn't come into that barracks because they didn't want to get the lice. So Corey Ten Boom was free to tell people about Jesus and sing songs in that place because of the lice. So it may look like something horrible, but all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. So don't be fearful of what might happen. Rejoice. Rejoice because your redemption draws near. All right? So we don't live in fear. We live in faith. Go read Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the faith chapter. I love the last part of it where it says that the people were sawn in two. They were fed the lions. You know, they went through all of these horrible, horrible things. And it's got a phrase at the end of it. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. What they went through so that we could be here today, of whom the world was not worthy. Who paid a price to get the gospel out to the world so that you and I could receive it in our lifetimes, of whom the world was not worthy. So don't be afraid. Rejoice in God. Man, you don't have to like what's going on, but don't throw in the towel. Somebody told me the other day, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just kill myself. You know, I'm going to move out of this country. Well, don't kill yourself for goodness sake. And don't move where you're going to go that's any better than this. Even as rotten as this is, it's not as bad as a lot of places in this world. Move to Canada? I've met a lot of like nice people in Canada, but I don't want to live in Canada. It's cold. I'd freeze to death up there. I'd rather be down here and put up with the humbug. At least I can make a difference down here. The void of answers to the world's ills is Christ. COVID, we're dealing with COVID. It's getting worse, they say. More and more people are contacting it. They have more lockdowns. I heard from a credible source they're probably going to close down the schools in St. Tammany again. You know, just a lot of things that are happening. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't stop living.
Amen.
You know, it's more dangerous for you to get in your car and drive on Interstate 12 than it is to go in a place without a mask. Believe me. You got a much better chance of getting killed on that highway. Life is dangerous, but you don't quit living.
That's right.
Now, I'm not going to run around and be stupid, you know. I'm going to use my head. You know, I hate these things, But maybe they're right. Maybe they do you some good. So I'll wear my mask if I need to. I'm not going to wear it all the time, but I do wear it on occasion. Are we going to have war? Is Iran going to have a nuclear weapon? Is Korea going to have a nuclear weapon? Today, we're ending our nuclear arms agreement with Russia. What are the implications of that? I don't know. Are they going to nuke us? Your nuke is going to be a flash and a twinkling of an eye. I'll be gone. And that's not what Scripture is talking about, but that's, it's got an application there. Congress is divided. They couldn't decide how to pour water out of a glass together.
That's right.
That's how pathetic the Congress is these days. Okay. But it's divided and it's difficult. People are fearful about the presidency. It's not decided yet. Heck, it might take a long time before this thing gets decided. But it will. It'll get decided. And you'll have either a happy day or a sad day, but just don't have an unjoyful day. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, okay? Revelation offers the antidote to fear. This book of Revelation. Go back and read the whole thing. I'm going to finish up this sermon series today. But go, it'll take you to fear away. It talks about the seven churches. This is where we started all this. And what do we know about the seven churches? Christ is in the midst of the churches. He's here with us today. The Spirit of Christ is here in this little storefront church. He's in the Church of the King that's got thousands of people. He's in cathedrals around the world. Wherever the name of Jesus is lifted up, he's there. He said, if just two of you get together, I'll be there in your midst. That's the promise of God. And the truth is, he never leaves a single person alone. So you can be by yourself and Christ will be with you. But in a worship service, that's all you need is two. And we know that Christ is in the church and we're in the church. Christ has prophets and priests and pastors that are in his hand. I feel confident that I'm in Christ's hand. That he's guiding me and directing me. That the sermons I have, the things I do, that he opens the doors for me to minister where I minister. As you know, I'm writing a book about a lot of things I've seen the last 6 or 7 years in Slidell. And just going over those things and writing them down. I'm just amazed at what God has done. This is not in the book, but it may be because I've not finished it. I might put it in there. Did you read in the newspaper last week that Slidell has got an abundance of money? They've got over $2.5 million in the budget, and that tax revenue is going up, and that we're the only parish, the only city in this area that's happening to? I wonder why. Let me see here. I wonder if it's God's moving because we're honoring God in St. Tammany Parish. He said, well, God doesn't care about the other places. God cares about them, but St. Tammany, Slidell, Louisiana, is honoring God.
Yes.
And I had my first meeting about, I'll give you a clue. I shouldn't say this on the radio because, no, I'll tell you in person. I don't want to publicly say it because it should be a surprise for everybody else. But when we sign off, I'll tell you. And if you're watching and you want all the secrets, you got to get in the building. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I just can't do it. Call me up and I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you about who's going to be at the mass prayer breakfast. So, we know that evil is judged. We saw that when we went through this thing about Babylon. We know that Jesus was judged so that we don't have to be judged. We know we're not going before the great white throne judgment. That's for the unbeliever.
Yes.
For the believer, we've already been judged. Our name's in the book of life. He just opens up that book. All right, Camille, come on down. And you're in. Come in, Mary. No, come, no, just come in because your name's written in the book. We are living in the greatest time of hope known to man because now is the moment when people can come to Christ. The gates are open for them today. Jesus has already set the believers free. If you're a believer, you are set free. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin. He's working on our behalf. He's getting the clay ready for us to put it on the wheel and make something nice out of it. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin. Some people misread that. They say, well, it's convicted everybody. No, it's convicted. Go read it. It's convicted in the world of sin. Believers don't get convicted of sin. There's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. All right? Father is holding back the final vials and bowls and trumpets that are talked about in Revelation. He's holding that back for the time being. But when the curtain is drawn and we're out of this place, that'll be the end. There'll be no way for people to get saved any longer. The fires of the lake of fire have not been lit. I believe he might have turned the gas on, but he hasn't struck the match yet. And as long as that doesn't happen, there's hope in this world for anyone to come. In our town, where we live, perhaps the greatest town in the world, the things that I see, the people I speak to, I am just amazed at what God is doing. We have I've told you this before, my Greg Cromer, one of the finest Christian men that I know, and he's our mayor. And he replaced one of the finest Christian men I know, that's Freddie Drennan, who was our mayor. By the way, both of those mayors are writing a portion of the book they're going to have in there, along with some other people. We're blessed to have a Christian coroner who's responsible for people and cares about people in a way that you just don't always see. The Ministerial Alliance of Greater St. Tammany and the Slidell Ministers Association are working hand in hand to make Slidell a better place. We've done more to eliminate racial strife in the last 6 years in Slidell than any place that I know of. The black and the white community of ministers are friends now, where it wasn't always true. We go out together, we fellowship together, we enjoy each other's company together, and we stand united when we need to stand united. There's three Christian radio stations that broadcast from Slidell. Three. Why in a little old town like this do we have three Christian radio stations? And we happen to have one of them. And the Word of God is being broadcast out of this place. I'm telling you, something special is happening in our world, particularly here in Slidell. I believe the final transition has begun. I really do. I may be wrong, maybe 1,000 years, but you won't be here in 1,000 years to tell the difference.
That's for sure.
You know, most of us won't be here that many more years, looking around the crowd. But as long as we're here, when we get to the other side, we'll say, wow, Morris, you were right. He said, Morris, you got that so wrong. You know, he said, the world will go on for another 50 years, 50,000 years. I don't know. The message is, the one same one that's behind me, come home, all is forgiven. That's the message of this church. It's the message of the Bible. It's the message of Jesus. It's the last invitation in the book of Revelation. It's right here. Come, come, I'm coming soon. Come, come, come. So whoever wants to can come today. If you're listening to me over the internet, or Facebook, or you're listening on the radio, and you hear my voice, and maybe your life is a mess, you're worried about COVID, you're worried about the presidency, you're worried about America, forget about all those things for a moment and think about yourself. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you given your life to Him? And if not, do it right now. Simple prayer is all you need. Lord Jesus, would you come into my life? Forgive my sins. As best I know how, I receive you into my life right now. And I'm going to do my best to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. If you would pray that simple prayer is enough for you to receive total forgiveness, to be born again, for the old you, the scriptures say, to pass away, and for a new you to be created. and your name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a part of you would say, that's too simple. Don't I have to weep? Don't I have to cry? Don't I have to lament? You probably deserve to quit, to kneel and cry and lament. But that's not what Christ is offering to you. He offers you free salvation to any who will believe. To any who will believe, even you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the promises that you've given to us. And they're not idle promises and just words of rhetoric or platitudes. They are the truth. Your word is truth. And that truth can set us all free. And Father, we look forward to that day when we join with the bridegroom who is waiting for the bride, and that we will see with our own eyes that which we see by faith today. But just because we see by faith doesn't mean it's less real. It's still real. And Father, we see it by faith, and we are confident that all the things inscribed in this book for the church are yes and amen for all eternity. And we thank you, Father. Let the word take root within us. Let it grow. Let it pump us up like a helium balloon filled with truth. And let us just float above the trials and tribulations of this world and keep our hearts and our minds set on you. And Father, this we do in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen and amen. With that said, you are dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.